Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. The book of Exodus, chapter 15, reading verses 22 and 23. Exodus 15, verses 22 and 23. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And our subject this evening is the bitterness of Marah. The bitterness of Marah. Well, last week, just to very briefly recap, we considered that tremendous song at the start of the chapter 15, the tremendous song of Moses and the children of Israel, that song that celebrated the victory of God over the Egyptians and indeed the judgment of God upon the Egyptians. And well, we noted many glorious things. I won't go through every single one, but so many glorious things about this great victory, about how the Lord's victory over his enemies is swift and complete. Swift in that the enemies sink like a stone, complete because they shall not be able to rise again, the enemies of God. And we looked at that glorious 11th verse. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? And noted that this is God-centered worship, objective worship, not focusing upon them as a people, as a nation, but upon God. And that's how we ought to praise. Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, we cannot praise him enough, and doing wonders, or so many wonders, of course, the Lord has wrought for his people down through the ages. And then we finished off last week, of course, with that great sight of Christ, even in the song of Moses, verse 6, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. The right hand of God in prophecy always refers to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Messiah is tied to the Lord's deliverance. Remember, this is the first time that Israel, the nation of Israel, know God as a deliverer. They have never known God as a deliverer before this time. They have known him, of course, as one who has made a covenant with the nation of Israel, or with the family of Israel, I should say. They know him as creator. But this account in Exodus, this deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt, this is the first time they know God as deliverer. This is where they learn that to know God is to know deliverance. To know God is to know freedom from bondage. That is what it means to know God. And that deliverance will ultimately be truly fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, the right hand of God. So even in the very first deliverance shown to the children of Israel, Christ is there. Because, of course, there is no deliverance without that Saviour whom the Lord will supply and will provide. But immediately after these events, after this time of great rejoicing, well, there will come a time of difficulty. And this will be the focus of our study this evening, these events in Marah. There has been joy and praise after the Red Sea account, but then we come to verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Well, this must have been very difficult for them. 3 days in the wilderness. They must have been tired and fatigued, laden with so many things in the blazing heat of the sun. 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. They are thirsty. And when they come to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, bitterness, that is to say. And verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Well, this is very sad in many ways. There has been tremendous praise. There has been great singing and rejoicing. Now there is murmuring. The children of Israel are murmuring against Moses. And while we note that they are murmuring against Moses, as though he is the one who has led them to this place. This is entirely his fault. And so they murmur against Moses. They don't think Moses knows what he's doing. They surely don't think that Moses knows where he's going. They murmur against Moses. But what needs to be pointed out is that surely Moses was following the way that God had shown him. Moses was following God. Moses was following that cloud, that pillar, the pillar of cloud that never departed from the children of Israel. Moses was following that cloud. He wasn't trying to find his own way around the wilderness and then getting lost. No, of course not. Moses would never have deviated from the way that God had shown him. So when we think about it in those terms, well, then we have to conclude very obviously that the Lord led them to this place. The Lord led them 3 days in the wilderness without any water, and the Lord has led them to Marah, and there are waters there, but they can't drink of those waters. The Lord has led them there, for they were bitter waters. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And well, the very first lesson we can draw from this, the very simple lesson, is that the Lord's way for the children of Israel and for us is not easy. It's not an easy way that we take when we choose to follow the Lord. We, I trust, did not become Christians to have lives that were easy, to have lives that were completely untouched by hardship. I trust that nobody in this church or here present this evening believes that, but many people do. That's why many people profess Christianity or profess faith in Christ without really understanding what it means. So many people say, yes, I'll become a Christian because God will protect me from all things. I'll never have a day of hardship ever again. God will provide for me. God will bless me in all that I do, every single thing. I'll never know any pain. I'll never know any hardship. I'll never know any sorrow. I'll sign up. Where do I sign up? I'll come to the front of the church and I'll become a Christian. Sadly, that's what so many people think. And yet that's not the way that is borne out by Scripture. We see it even here. The Lord God is leading the children of Israel through a difficult path. The life following the Lord, it's not a bed of roses. It is a glorious path, of course. I don't want to be too depressing. It's a glorious path. It is a joyous path, of course. It's a profitable path. It's an eternal path. We have everlasting life. But in this life here on earth, well, it's not an easy one. And we see this in this episode here, in these verses before us. Well, as Christians, we can apply it in this way. The Christian life, well, we will have persecution. We will have people attacking us. We will have people mocking us. These things can be hard. These things are not easy. From day one, when we follow the Lord our God, we have to separate from the world. We've been talking about that very much in this series. Separate from the world, from worldly entertainments. We have to abstain from these things because they're harmful, because they can lead us away from God. So many cultural pursuits that other people can enjoy. We have to be very careful. Sometimes we have to come away entirely. And many people think that's unfair. Even us as Christians, we look at the world and we think of all their joys and all their pleasures and how they seem to be delighting and reveling in all sorts of things. And we look at ourselves and, well, we can get bitter. We think to ourselves, this is not fair at all. And we become like these Israelites at Marah, where bitterness reigns. And well, this is a very sad thing, to think that we are being hard done by, to think that God is not being very fair to us. Bitterness, we must seek to go against it. And of course, there are many other things that can make us bitter in the Christian life. There's illness can come upon us, that can make us bitter people. Bereavement, when we lose those who are close to us. Family issues, long-running family issues, even long-running battles against sin. Sometimes we have battles against sin and we see other people and they seem to be, overcoming all their sins, but we struggle so greatly and we think that's unjust. That's not fair. All these things can make us bitter. And so we murmur against God. Well, how do we counter this bitterness in our lives? Those bitter episodes, how can we counter them? Because we will no doubt encounter them in our Christian lives. Well, one thing that is apparent here is that the children of Israel, they seem to have forgotten their tremendous deliverance already. That great deliverance at the Red Sea, remember at the end of chapter 14, if you look at verse 31 at the very end of the chapter, Israel, all of them, saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. They have been delivered from captivity in a most miraculous and gracious way. And they fear the Lord, they are ready to worship him, they believe the Lord, they trust in him and his servant Moses. They believed in him too, but now, just a few days later, they don't believe in his servant Moses. They don't think that he knows what he's doing. And they seem to have forgotten all about their early deliverance, their miraculous deliverance. If only they had remembered that, that would have served to stave off their bitterness here at Marah. That great deliverance, well, if they had remembered, reminded themselves of these things at Marah, well, then bitterness would have been warded off. And well, we too also need to be ones, those who remember our great deliverance, to ward off bitterness. That great deliverance when we were saved, of course, our conversion. We must think of that very often. Every day, think of our conversion. Think of how the Lord saved us. Think of what we were like before we were saved. Do we think about that? What type of people we were like, how shallow we were as people, how limited we were in our understanding of the world and in our understanding of ourselves, how foolish we were, all the foolish decisions that we would make as unsaved people, going after foolish goals in this world, going after foolish ambitions. Oh, these things, well, they were very sad. Remember what you were like before you were saved, and no doubt enslaved to so many sins. that you couldn't conquer. But then God worked in you. God worked in you and led you to repentance and faith. He delivered you from that captivity. He made you a new person with a new nature, with new tastes, with new understanding. You understood things that you didn't understand before about the world and about yourself. And we spoke about these things on the Lord's Day evening. But these things are our great deliverance. And in many people's cases, maybe this is the case for many of you, I'm sure it is. Well, God didn't just save you, but he gave you so much. He gave you a home. He gave you a family, wives, husbands, children. Perhaps you never would have had these things if you had never come to God. You never would have been that type of person to get married and have a family. But God changed you. He gave you everything that you know and enjoy now. God has given you. Perhaps he gave you gifts and talents. Perhaps he led you into your vocation. Well, you would have nothing of those things if the Lord hadn't worked in your life. And well, we remember that it was God who worked in us. We would have never come if God had not worked in our lives first of all. We were rebel sinners, no desire to come to him. And yet the Lord took you and gave you this life with all its wonderful gifts. Well, when you think of that great deliverance, well, that ought to remove any bitterness when you come into difficult times. You remember that initial deliverance and salvation. How can you be bitter? You can't. And these things, well, we must think about. Well, these Israelites, they did not remember how the Lord had saved them, their initial deliverance. But furthermore, because they had forgotten about their initial deliverance, they didn't think that God could save them in the days ahead. They'd forgotten about his major initial deliverance, bringing them out of captivity, forgotten all about it. And so now when they looked ahead to the future, they were full of fear. They didn't think that God would be able to provide for them. And well, we have to stave these things off, remember our deliverance, and know that if the Lord has dealt with your sin problem, if the Lord has saved you and redeemed you, delivered you from death and from hell, if he's dealt with your greatest need through granting you faith in Christ, well, he will deal with everything else that comes into your life. If he's dealt with that greatest thing, you were heading for eternal loss and destruction, but he's dealt with it, moved it out of the way, placed all your sins on Christ. If he did that, well, then he's going to deal with everything else in your life. Of course he is. So we have to remember our great salvation, our great deliverance, and then that gives us the courage and the anticipation that God will deal with everything else in our lives. Now, it has been noted by many commentators that the children of Israel, when they came to a difficult time here, difficult place here in Marah, they murmured to Moses. The people murmured against Moses, verse 24, saying, "What shall we drink?" But look at what Moses did. He cried unto the Lord. The people, the Israelites, murmuring against Moses, looking for Moses to do something about it. But Moses, well, he has the right idea. He cries unto the Lord. Really, all of them should have been crying unto the Lord. All of them should have looked up to God and prayed. They should have known that Moses, in and of his own strength, cannot do anything at all. They all need to cry unto the Lord. And this is what we have to do. I'm going to try and apply this as much as I can. This is what we have to do when we come to difficult times in our lives. We cry unto the Lord. Now, it seems an obvious thing for me to say, and I'm sure I've said this before, but we have to remind ourselves because we so easily forget. God always needs to be the first port of call. If difficult things come into our lives, it's in our nature to try and find worldly solutions. Always worldly solutions. Always asking other people how they can help. Always calling upon friends, calling upon an arm of flesh. See what they can do. None of this is wholly bad. But my point is, do we ever cry to the Lord? That ought to be the first thing that we do. Sometimes we can spend hours on the phone when something bad has happened, speaking to a friend, pouring out our heart to a friend, saying you need to do this, you need to do that. Hours on the phone, but you won't spend a single second in prayer to God because you need man's help. It's as though men can help us better than God can. But God ought to be our first port of call. We ought to understand that and look up to him. He is able to answer us far better than any man or person can. The people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" But he, Moses, cried unto the Lord. This is so very important. And just to emphasize this point, let me turn you to 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, to our scripture reading earlier this evening. And that famous verse, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, which speaks about the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. Much of this chapter, or the first part of this chapter, speaks of that. But verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." And the Apostle Paul is speaking about trials primarily, rather than temptations to sin, trials and tribulations. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But look at this, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able." Yes, trials will come, but they will not be more than you are able to bear. Yes, the children of Israel had been in the wilderness. They'd gone 3 days without water, but none of them were dead. We don't read of any having died because of thirst. Yes, they had had to face that great temptation, but it wasn't anything more than they could bear. They could bear it. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. And I very often say this, but when things come into your lives, the first thing we ought to think of is, I can bear it. God is faithful. If this thing has come into my life, well, this is not designed to crush me. It's not designed to destroy me. God would not allow that. I can bear it. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. And what an encouragement that is for us. What joy that is for us. We can bear with all things if these words are true and faithful, and they are. And then we come to the second part, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that she may be able to bear it. He makes a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He doesn't necessarily remove the trial. He just gives you a help, an assistance, a way to escape that you can bear it. The children of Israel, they will be wandering in the wilderness for many years yet to come. 40 years in the wilderness. The trial wasn't going to be removed, but they will be able to bear it because God, every step of the way, through his faithfulness, will provide for them. a way of escape. Well, let's turn back to Exodus chapter 15, because there is a way of escape that he shows us here in verse 25. The people murmuring, "What shall we drink?" And Moses, he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Well, this was the way of escape for the Israelites, this tree that was cast into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. Note that this is God's ordained way of escape. Nobody else, no man would have thought of this. If any man had even suggested this, cutting down a tree and putting it into the waters, well, people would have ridiculed him. But this is the Lord's way. The Lord's way, the tree cast into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. And well, that's a lesson for us. When we face trials, are we treating those trials or dealing with those trials in the Lord's way? The Lord's way is not always our way. Sometimes it's the way that we would least think of, the opposite way that we would deal with something. Just like this tree cast into the waters. How is that going to help? How is that possibly going to make any difference? Sometimes we see God's provision for a trial and we don't want to take it because we think, how is that even going to help? We don't trust in that way of escape that God has provided, but we must trust in it. This tree cast into the waters, so unusual, so inexplicable as it were, but it works. And so if God is showing us a way out of a trial, our duty is not to question it, to think to ourselves, that's never going to work. I wouldn't do it like that. No, this is God's way. And so we follow that way. The tree cast into the waters were made sweet. Well, a wonderful application is made by many commentators and preachers of how in the Christian life, even those things that are bitter are made sweet when we are Christians. Those things that the world sees as bitter things, things that cause heartache and sorrow, like bereavement, like illness, like anything else that is hard and painful. When we have a hold on the Lord, those things become sweet when we truly trust in Him. You hear so many people, so many Christians who have gone through very difficult times, and you ask them about their experiences. How was it to go through the loss of a husband or a wife, or that great illness, those many years of illness, that great setback in your life? You ask them about it, and to your surprise, so many of them say, well, actually, that was the time of spiritual communion that I was most endeared to. That was the most precious time. That was the time when I felt closest to God. In that difficult time, that's when I really felt the Lord's hand upholding me. Not when everything was going well, when everything fell apart. That's when I really felt the Lord upholding me. I've never felt closer to Him. That's when I saw the greatest answers to my prayers. That's when I was most sanctified. Perhaps this person had some terrible sin in his life, some terrible habit, but then something came into his life and he stopped because of that bitter time, that supposedly bitter time. But it's made sweet when we know the Lord. The bitter is made sweet when we trust in Christ. This is the beauty of the Christian life. When bitter things happen to worldlings, they will fall apart. They will be bitter about those things. But Christians can overcome. The bitter waters can be made sweet. Do not forget that, dear friends, because we can derive so much strength whenever things come our way. But well, I begin to move to conclusion. Verse 26, and the Lord said, if thou wilt diligently hearken, or Moses rather said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. These are indeed the words of the Lord. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Well, yes, of course he is. But note that condition in verse 26. Healing comes when we obey God. When we obey God. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, etc. Well, then I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. This is what we have to do. I'm sure there will be many trials forthcoming in our own lives, but whenever they come, our first priority is to obey God. That's the way of healing. So many things will come upon us. We'll think to ourselves, how am I going to get through this mess? Well, we obey God. That's the way that we get through it. We obey God. We yield to God. We submit to God. We continue to serve God. If we don't, we'll never be healed. The situation will grip your heart and your soul. You'll just end up bitter, bitterer and bitterer. You'll resent God. You'll perhaps rebel against God. There'll be no healing. But if we instead yield to God and submit to him, then there is healing in our lives, whatever comes into it. And verse 27 at the very end, and they came to Elim or Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Well, again, many have likened Elim to a glimpse, a foretaste of heaven, a type of heaven where there is plentiful supply of water. 12 wells of water, enough for everybody. 12 for the 12 tribes of Israel. That is to suggest here that there is ample for all. 12 wells of water and 70, 70, which many of us know is a very significant figure and one that reflects the glory of God and heaven. 70 palm trees, a place of refuge that shaded the children of Israel from the sun, protected them. Well, when we're in heaven, of course, we'll know eternal protection and security, protected from all sin, from all bitterness. 70 palm trees, and they camped there. They rested there. That was their home, temporarily for them, but for us permanently. We shall be, as it were, in that heavenly Elim. They came to Elim, and it's the same for us. Well, we know that the children of Israel wandering through the wilderness, that nation is a type of the church. It's a type and picture of the church wandering through this world. We are pilgrims, if we are Christians. We are just wandering through this earth. There will be difficult times, times that vex us and perplex us, but eventually, after only a relatively short time, we will come to that Elim. So we all must simply hold on and trust and believe in the Lord, and that rest will most surely come. So, dear friends, I hope this has been a comfort for us. May the Lord bless and enable us to keep ourselves from bitterness. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord, we ask that thou wouldst help us each one. Lord, we know that we can be so weak and so foolish. When difficult things arise, we can be so bitter and allow bitterness to dwell in our hearts for so long. But, O Lord, may we submit to thee, may we obey thee, that we may know true healing and blessing from on high. And, O Lord, be pleased to keep us until we come to our eternal rest. Lord, we ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.